FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's January 22nd, 2018. Well, the Trump economy just keeps rolling along. Happy days truly are here again, or are they? Well, let's find out more about that. First, as always, join the show, be part of it. Email us, kl@carrielutz.com. So, are happy days here again? Well, Michael Eastham of fellowshipfinancial.com is with us now. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Carrie. It's great to be with you again.
Hey, so article here, U6 unemployment still at 8%, but first-time unemployment claims are plunging. Labor force participation rate starting to budge. It took a long time to get down where it is. Housing starts, housing purchases up and away. So happy times are really here again, huh?
You know, I think it's clearly a good direction. There are a lot of good signs in the economy that point to growth, real growth, and money coming into the U.S. economy. I think it was a big statement last week when Tim Cook from Apple kind of in a half-hearted way gave credit to the Trump tax plan for one of the reasons why they're going to be bringing $350 billion into the U.S. economy over the next 5 years. That's a huge number. So then they're just one of many companies that have made investment commitments, that have made investments in their existing employees in the tune of either higher wages or bonuses. I think those are all great signs that we're moving in the right direction with this tax reform.
Yeah, so we had talked before talking about how if the tax reform didn't go through, it was potentially deadly to the market. But right. But the market's been expecting this all along. Is it better, even better than the market expected? Is the market, was it short-sighted about this? Didn't know what was going to happen? What do you think is going on here?
Well, I do think that some of the numbers were baked into the stock market to begin with. But you also have to consider, well, what is the impact of the tax reform? And when you have a company that goes from a 35% tax rate down to a 21% tax rate, then, I mean, that actually increases their profits by about 22 to 23%. That's a huge change, a huge improvement just by the flick of a switch. And that means that companies do have more money to reinvest. They do have more money to add employees and all these other things. So I think it creates more room to grow in the market, but I still hold great caution because we've never seen these levels before. And I've started to refer to them as the nosebleed seats, nosebleed levels, where it is in a high level. You're not sure what you're going to be able to see from that level, and you're not sure whether it's going up or down. So people do have to be careful, especially if you're approaching retirement or you're in retirement. You don't want to take too much risk when you don't know what's going to happen down the road.
Well, you know, there's some wise economist once said the future is always uncertain. And right. So what do? You start selling off a pre-programmed series of portfolio liquidations, drawdowns? What's the
alternative? Well, not necessarily. I think every situation is going to be a little bit different. If you're 20-something and you've got plenty of time to ride things out, well, look, maybe you keep fully invested in growth stocks or growth funds. But if you're 65, you're a year away from retirement, or you're 70 and you're already retired, and you can't afford to wait 7 years for the market to come back up when it starts to correct. Well, those are the ones that really have to evaluate their true risk level and determine how they're going to support their income needs in retirement.
Mm-hmm. So it's all situational dependent then?
Very much. Very much situational dependent.
But even still, even if you're not that close to retirement, let's say you're in your mid-40s, early 50s, you right. still don't want to lose, right? I mean, it's still going to take you twice as long to get that money back as it did to make it, right?
That's exactly right, Carrie. And not only that, but you've got opportunity costs that you give up while you're waiting for the market to come back. So even if you are in your 40s or early 50s, then it makes sense to evaluate your own true risk tolerance. Look at the way that you're invested. Are you fully invested for growth? And do you want to, and look, you've had tremendous gains. So maybe now is a good time to take some gains off the table and move into more conservative types of investment vehicles. I mean, look, the mantra of the market is buy low and sell high, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is when the market gets to a high level, nobody wants to sell because you keep thinking, hey, it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going until it doesn't. And so take a look at some of the gains that you've had. We've definitely had some gains in the market. It's more than a recovery, right? From 2013 is where the market made kind of treaded water back to its previous peak from 2007. Yeah. So now we have gains from 2013 to today. Take a look at those gains, possibly reevaluate and take some of those gains, lock them in, and just wait for the next market correction with some of those monies.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I will grant you that. And as the price goes higher, so does the risk. I think that's what many of you don't really get. So everybody has to be their own risk manager, if you will, right? You've got to be managing
your risk. I
think so.
And that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, Common Sense Income Strategies, because a lot of what I talk about in the book is just that. It's common sense. The problem is financial media, the entire Wall Street business model has tried to create things that sound so complicated that it leads people to believe that they have to rely on somebody else in order to answer questions about risk, about appropriate investment strategies. And the reality is that's not the case. Common sense is based on the experiences of your lifetime. What sounds right, or what does my gut instinct tell me is the right thing to do here? And I think a lot of us, our parents told us, hey, if you can preserve your principal and you can just live off the interest or the dividends that are generated from the account, well, then I'm going to make my money last a lot longer. We've gotten away from that model. And I'm not saying it's totally a bad thing. In fact, it's not a bad thing that some people have the ability to invest for growth and take more risk. But again, your circumstance is going to dictate what kind of an allocation or what kind of a proportion of risk versus income-based investments that you have in your portfolio.
Right. Exactly. So you need to really be on your toes here because, the market doesn't like flash a sign that says sell one day.
Right.
And then, you have to sell in order to hold on to your principal there. It just happens when you're least expecting it, when complacency is highest and when investors are least prepared for the inevitable.
That's another great point, Carrie. And the other question I would ask to your listeners is when you're combating, you're an individual investor, you're in there, you've got a few hundred thousand dollars or you have, small amounts of certain stocks and you're going up against these major institutional traders and institutional money managers that are dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions in some cases. Who do you think is going to win that trigger battle? When they see a warning sign, they're likely going, it's going to be like a financial musical chairs. They're going to be the ones to take the money off the table first. And most individual investors are going to be the ones left without a chair.
Yeah, so true. And that's why you can't really beat the big guys at their own game, like trading.
Right.
You can only beat them in long-term investing. At least that's what I always believed, right?
Yeah, and you got to be careful. You got to pay attention. Get yourself educated. There are lots of ways that you can learn about risk. There are lots of ways that you can learn about different investment strategies to help you to make a good decision about what's appropriate for you.
Yeah. So manage your risk. And so what do you do here? I mean, every market, they're calling it, Michael, the everything bubble. There's a reason they're calling it that, right?
Well, I think that's true. There are a lot of economists who understand that we've never been here before. It's uncharted territory. But at the same time, what does that mean? 2000, the the tech bubble of the 90s, that turned into an absolute debacle. Then you had the housing bubble, 2007. People tend to forget that those things happen. And then the folks, the pundits come along and say, well, it won't happen again. That's not going to happen this time. This time is going to be different. Those are some of the most dangerous words that I hear in financial industry, is that this time it's going to be different and the market's going to keep going up. You do have to be careful. But and so I have to tell you, I mean, you know, I've got clients that have millions of dollars to invest. They don't necessarily need to invest for income. They just want to preserve their assets. So they want to be more conservative with it. They could very easily take a lot more risk with their money, but they choose not to because their gut instinct tells them that if they want to accomplish their financial goals, then they need to protect their principal. They need to downsize their risk. They need to invest in things that do pay interest and dividends. And whether those are individual bonds or bond-like instruments, there's a whole variety, a spectrum of things that are designed to pay interest and dividends that too many Wall Street financial guys just don't really pay attention to anymore because they're not that sexy. If I'm telling you that you're going to earn between 4% and 7% interest and dividends, but the stock market's doing 8% to 12%, then that doesn't sound nearly as compelling. But you do have to take a look at the different options and then make a decision yourself or with the help of your advisor.
That's so true. It's so true. There's no one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter solution for this, is there?
No, not at all. And you know, you've got a growing economy. That's always a great sign. It creates optimism, but optimism needs to be tempered with some sense of reality, right? Because the party's going to end at some point, and you just need to figure out, well, how much am I willing to give up in the event of a market correction?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you always got to be looking at your downside, and especially when the market has been up for so long, it's been so upbeat.
Right.
It's eventually the party's got to come to a close here, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You look, you know, the market's been moving forward for 8 years, 9 years at this point, and that is a concerning thing. You look historically, and a 9-year bull market certainly says that there's a bear market on the horizon.
Yeah, so maybe the tax cuts have just put off the inevitable for a bit, huh?
They could very much so. I mean, I think I still can continue to look back and realize, okay, well, our government still has $20 trillion in debt. We haven't even begun to pay real interest cost on that money. Because interest rates have been artificially low for so many years now. When the interest rates start to creep up and the cost of that $20 trillion in debt goes skyrockets, then we're going to have an even bigger issue to deal with. And that tells me that at least at some point down the road, we're going to have to increase taxes. And people, again, that's another one of those things that it's easy to kick that can down the road and say, yeah, but let's make hay while the sun shines, which is okay. But again, temper it with where you are in your retirement, you know, as far as what I refer to as the retirement red zone, 10 years before and maybe 5 years into retirement, what your age is. And an even more simple question, how much risk are you willing to take?
Yeah, which translated into is how much money are you willing to lose, right?
That's exactly right. You got it.
How much are you willing to lose? How big a hit can you take? And the less of, you know, the less that the less that number is, the more you need to be taking action now rather than waiting perhaps for the inevitable, right, Michael?
That's right. That's right. And as I mentioned, you know, I got a lot of clients that could take more risk, but they choose not to. But I also have a significant number of clients who we have their money in the market because they want to take risk with that money. They're okay with it. They recognize the downside. The big difference is we educate them. We talk them through it so that they understand the difference in strategy between investing for growth and investing for income. And they recognize the tangible risks that exist. And ultimately, you know, we guide them through that decision-making process and try and make it as close to what their goals are as possible.
Okay, well, that's really important. And you can't really overemphasize that enough because it's a lot harder to make the money back after you've lost
right.
it. That's for sure. Well, anyway, Michael, where's the best place to find you if you want to find out more about what Fellowship Financial is all about?
Yeah, thanks, Carrie. Yeah, the best place to reach out to us is through our website, fellowshipfinancial.com. It's fellowshipfinancial.com. There's lots of resources there. You can read about my book. You can order the book, Common Sense Income Strategies, through there, or just post a question or read a download a report.
All right. Hey, and you can always send us an email if you got any questions or thoughts. Love to hear what you think. The email address is kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Michael, thanks so much for coming on, and we will talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure, Carrie. You have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.